You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
There's a scripture that I know we all know, but I just want to touch on it briefly tonight, and then we will leave here. Amen. Joel chapter 2 verse 28. Now I just want to talk to you something that I call God can use you. God can use you. God can use you. Is that? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. God said he was going to pour his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Amen. No flesh left out. All flesh. God said, I'll pour. Not I'll sprinkle. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. God can use anybody, and God can use anybody. There is no one that God cannot use. And it's important for you to accept this reality. It's so important. God has a program. God loves humanity. And the proof of God's love for all humans is the coming of Jesus Christ to die upon the cross of Calvary. God loves people. Number two, God is in the program of reconciling men to himself in every sense of it. Number three, God is bringing order to chaos. God is bringing order to chaos. The prevalence of sin and wickedness is the reason for disorder. Is the reason for greed. Is the reason for all the things that we see. But God is in the program of bringing order. And in God executing this assignment, he doesn't do it without men. The sole reason for your existence is not for you. No. You were not created for you. You were created for him. And that is why your fulfillment does not lie in you. Your fulfillment lies in being fruitful. Being fruitful. And fruitfulness, I'm not just talking about you having money and all that. No, it's much more than that. That God can find himself at work in you and through you affect another person. That is God's agenda. That is where your fulfillment lies. Your fulfillment lies when God is at work in you and he can touch another person and unlock in them what he had programmed them for. That is where your fulfillment lies. I'm not saying that all of us are going to become pastors, but the truth of the matter is that every one of us is into ministry. Everybody is a minister. All right, let's look at the scripture that I know you know, but let's go back there. One of the things I've realized that is stepping us in this generation is that we get too familiar with things easily. Get too familiar. When you see something 1, 2, 3, you think you know it, so you jump it. No, that is why I say that one of the scriptures in the Bible that has received familiarity bastardization is John 3:16. But even when we mention, you even write it, you don't. I mean, it's not John 3:16. That is what is killing us. Is it not John 3:16? But that, maybe that's the scripture that is the key to your total healing, total prosperity, but you become too familiar. No, you should never be familiar with scriptures. And you will tip in. Hallelujah. Give us Ephesians 4 and verse number 9 downwards. I'm talking to you about, I said God can use you. Amen. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of what? For the equipping of the saints for the work of what? And who are the saints? You and I. He never said that you're a pastor. He never said you're an apostle. He never said you're an evangelist. As long as you are born again, as long as that you have received the Lordship of Jesus Christ and he's your savior, you have been redeemed, you are a saint. And as a saint, we have an assignment to equip you for the work of the ministry. So ministry is actually done by the church members. The church doesn't do ministry. It's you. You are the minister. You are the one to take the gospel out there and tell someone about Jesus. You are the one to heal the sick. You are the one to cast out devils. You are the one to train people in the ways of God. So as soon as you reduce the coming of Christ to just your needs being met, you have underestimated the value of Jesus and the life you have received. Are you with me? You are the one to work of ministry. You are the one. Praise God. That's why I can put anybody on the program to come and do prayer. Because they don't tell me that you cannot. You are supposed to do the ministry. That's why when you come to church, you have to write notes. That's why you come to church, you have to take the teaching serious. You have to go back and listen to them, because we are supposed to equip you for the work of the ministry. Now imagine that all Christians in Ghana are truly being equipped to be in ministry. We won't have the corruption you have in this nation. Are you following me? Yeah, this is the reason. He said, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Continue to verse 13, sir. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Go to verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro. So one sign that you are a child in the faith is this one. Look at this one carefully. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So if you realize that any doctrine that comes, it sways you. You are giving your tithes. Somebody come and talk nonsense about tithe, then you stop. You are a child. Are you getting the whole idea here? Oh, like there's a conversation going on first fruit. No, because they know that every year, at the beginning of the year, people give first fruit. And you know, Christ is the first one that thinks all those nonsense. And then you just say, you stop giving up, you stop giving your tithe. You are a baby, you are in the pews. You are a child. One proof you are maturing is how rigid and rooted you are in truth, in the word of God, that nothing moves you. You are firm. Are you with me? So you are meant to be a teacher of the word, not one that's even tossed about by any wind of doctrine. So the fivefold ministry is meant to equip the church. So you sitting looking at me, the reason I consider standing here as a privilege is because it's an honor that God will pick me from amongst us and say, you are the same, but you teach and equip them for me. I will empower you to equip them for me. It means that if I were to give you a microphone to stand here, you would rightly divide the word of God. It's not a pastoral uniqueness. And that's why no pastor should feel that you are so wild because you can preach the word. I was reading a book by a man of God, Larry Lee. He said he couldn't tarry 1 hour with me. He's on prayer. And he said he was doing great revival services, but his personal prayer life had a problem. Sometimes, do not be deceived. A lot of us pastors, we stand here, we lead you in 3 hours prayer, but the last time we prayed 3 hours was when we got born again. I'm telling the truth. But sometimes it's a grace you're walking, it's an office you're walking in. So you can actually literally by experience lead people in a prayer for 6 hours. Then you yourself, you've never done that before. So you are busy imparting lives, but you are departing from life. Are you here with me? So you sitting here, you are meant to know the word. You are meant to be a man of prayer, a woman of prayer. You are meant to be one that is well established. So whenever we come to talk about gossip, so that as soon as we see gossip and malice in the church, we are seeing saints who are not being trained. You know how difficult it is to keep a scripture in your spirit, man. Have you finished that? You can't talk about somebody. You have time for that one. You are too busy. You are too busy hearing from God. You are too busy praying. You are too busy praying for the body of Christ. You have no time for that one. the work of the ministry. See, everybody's in here. And God said, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Why? Because without my spirit, they cannot do it. So I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. So there's the pouring of the spirit, and there is the doctrine. The doctrine gives structure to the pouring. Are you with me? Jesus said, you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. There are two different things here. As a believer, you must be balanced. There are those that have gone for the power and have left the scriptures. Okay? So demonstrating the power, but with all kinds of... It's easy for you to go into mysticism when there's no word in your spirit, man. You understand me? You feel so mysterious. I see 20 angels here. One is in blue, one is in green. There's one standing, one standing that way. And I see another angel that is flying, 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 flying. And we all look at you like, wow, this guy is very in the spirit. Are you with me? Then there's another category of people. Is the scriptures, the doctrine. They are so indoctrinated that they can't even heal mosquito. They can't. Why? Because when there's not, that balance is not there, you have become so reasonable and so logical, and reasoning and logic is the greatest enemy of the supernatural. You are too knowledgeable that you cannot submit to the leadership of the Spirit of God to do what he has to do in the lives of people. You can't. Are you here with me, people of God? Praise God. Say, Lord, use me this year. Lord, use me this year. Ilama hashakaba. Use me, Lord. In that office space, no one is permitted to be around me, and they don't know Jesus. They must know him. They must know him. This is not plenty talk. Just say it and take them into prayer room. And we cook them in the room. Cook them like the way the Malam would do. Cook them. By the time you come back, say, what were you talking about last night? Think what you're saying is making sense. You know, one truth I can tell you, one truth I can tell people of God, I don't know, but lately I feel so strongly that as the church and as the world, we don't have time. We don't have time. Jesus Christ said in the book of Matthew 24 that if the days were not shortened, even the very elect would be lost. I know, Pastor Jesh, I realize that the challenges we're having right now, the challenge we're having right now in the body and in the kingdom, we're still there in 1818 something. The church was still going. I read a book by an interview of D.L. Moody. And he was alive in the 1880 something. And at that time, he was saying the church is sleeping, the church doesn't pray. At that time, E.M. Bounds, early, 90s only, E.M. Bounds, that the church are looking for proper strategies to grow the church instead of praying. So the things are not new. The difference between then and now is that we have social media. Social media is exposing us. But it's been there. The disease is the same disease. You pick some of the books by E.M. Bounds, books by Charles Finney. The same things we are talking about. And the people are not serious about the kingdom of God. That's how they were talking. At that time. So the last days actually began when Christ ascended. So the Holy Ghost came, bam, last days began. So we are in the last of the last days. That's how, one of the signs you have to know, to let you know that we are in the last days, how people compromise righteousness. How we compromise so easily. The fear of God is gone. It's kind of not given, And then we compromise. We just compromise. And there seems not to be a difference between a believer and unbeliever. There seems not to be a difference. That's one of the signs that shows that we are, because the deception of the enemy has become stronger in our days. Deception is so much. Why? Because you are still doing well and yet you are fornicating. So, do you get a point? No, you are still doing well, but you are committing adultery. But you are still doing well. Business is still going on well. When you anoint, it works. still doing well. The pastor is still doing things, and yet things are working. So how will he know that it's wrong? It's a deception. There's a spirit of deception walking so mightily upon the earth that the most important thing of the kingdom relegated down there. Comparisons here and there. Oh, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. Still there in our time. Oh, this preacher is better than this one. This is better than this one. This one has more weight. This one has low weight. This one has more power. This one has less power. Do you get an idea? Yeah. There's a work to be done. 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 And God needs you to do that work. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not for us to feel that we are charismatics and these ones are orthodox. The Holy Spirit, He is the strength of God made available to men so men can do what God wants done. I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. Upon your sons and daughters. I just saw, as Pastor said here, he sent me a video of a church in Singapore that was built by children. God sent the pastor back to say, stay and build. So he used the teens to build a mega church in Singapore. Pastor Kwaju is hosting that man in Nigeria early this year to come and share. And the children are the ones, the teens are the ones doing the video, editing, everything. I wish I could show the video. Young people, I'm talking of teenagers, 13, 14, 15, are the chief ushers, they are the deacons, they are the senior pastors, and they have built church that has an attendance of thousands. They are not old like you and me. They are the ones having a big church in Singapore. Their pastor is an elderly man, but the people that have built the church are small children. Small children. Sometimes we are in our world and things are not working. God is working things in other places. God is working, sir. God is working. God is working on. The reason nobody, there's no human being on the face of the earth, no demon beneath the earth that can end the church, because the church is not built by men. Jesus said, I will build my church. And see, the way the church is meant to grow is not like the way Islam grows. We get to know that Islam is growing. We see more mosques. We see them marrying 10 wives and things. The church is like yeast. You can't tell that it's around, but it's around. Oh, you don't know the church. It's not a human organization. It's a God institution. It's built on the foundation of Christ. And if anybody can end the church, the person must succeed to uproot Christ. You can uproot Christ, then fine. You've done well. How many times they've tried to hide the Bible? How many times they've tried to make the Christian faith extinct? Ooh, it's built by Jesus. It's Jesus. I'll build my church. That is why when you and I are in a privileged place to work for the Lord and we are not, God will bring other people. You just push us away and bring some, because His work is too important to Him than you and I. God will bring you, just bring people. You'll be amazed. You'll bring somebody who is not eloquent like you and I. And that person just utter some prophobia, any grounding, and yet things are happening. Lord, don't reject me in your agenda. Hey, one of the most painful things is to see that God is doing something and He has sacked you. Some years ago, I saw that song, I think somewhere in 2007, and I used to sing it to our team then. What key is that? Lord, whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Lord, whatever you're doing in the season, don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. It's very painful that God can enthrone a man like Saul. He has sacked him. He has moved the spirit from him to a small boy in the bush. And yet the guy is on the throne. It's 21 said, God's one that can sack you and keep you in position. A ceremonial king. When there are important matters to be done for the kingdom, he goes to the bush and gets his boy. Saul had the height. Bible says when he stood, his shoulders were above everybody in Israel. Great stature. I guess there were six packs and everything. He looked like a mighty man of war. It was that perception of him that almost made Samuel miss it when he entered the house of Jesse. So anointed a king for the Lord. When Eliab came and said, that must be the man, because he also had broad chest and six packs. God said, forget this. Six packs have worried me for too long. I need some boy be who hungers me, hitting him in the bush. And all he knows is how to worship me and have a sling and a stone. That's all I need. The one that I can place my spirit upon. That's all I need. He might not have a first degree, a second degree, a master's. No! But my spirit can rest upon him. That's what God needs. When his spirit rests upon you, forget your background. He will use you. He will use you. It's so scary. God's spirit upon a man is all that a man needs. You see the way Seraphine, you're there. When the Holy Ghost fills you and it's on you, the kind of preaching and prayer you do here, you'll be surprised. Is it same you? And this year, that's what God is going to do. If it requires some of us to come and sit here and be praying hours, we'll pray until we can see tangibly that God is upon our lives and he's using us mightily. God must use us. God must use you. I said, God must use you. God must use you. God must use you. Stop looking at your weaknesses. Forget that one. Forget your weaknesses. Hallelujah. Forget what? Your weakness. Forget your past. All God needs is that in the present, present yourself. That's all he wants. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Are you here with me? Are you getting the message? Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Vatukrasta mashine. Ila mama. La cabra de sando brandi mega. Regama. When we get into prayer, we're not praying for the cast. No. You've got people of God. Hey, when God begins to use you to be a blessed people, the cast will run after you. That's the truth, my brothers. That's the truth, my brothers. When Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he gave us the golden key to prosperity. The golden key to prosperity is, Lord, I'm available. Let ability be upon me. Use me. And things will happen at a pace you never expected. This year, I want to just try God and tell you, you know what, Lord, this year, I'm not going to pray for a husband. I'm not going to pray for a wife. I'm going to pray for your anointing. I want to be relevant to your program. You'll be surprised. While you are busy working, then God is preparing that man that will love you and cherish you. Not some man that will think that he's doing you a favor marrying you. I'm telling people of God. When you are very relevant to a company, there was this lady. I don't know where she is now. I don't know if she's in the States or not, but she had this autism, and she was a computer programmer. She had this northern name, Fatima or something. And companies were seeking for her everywhere. It's a company that got her later when she was an employee there. Anywhere she's going, there's a bodyguard. Let her not say that my nose is paining me. Ah! They'll fly her out. Because the value of that lady to the company is deserving of any sacrifice the company will make. I was in Tamale when I was told by a particular young man, no, a lady who works with the United Nations, no, with America, America itself, the United States. And I think she was one of these, something in the United States, and she's so crucial, so important that even when she's coming on leave to visit their family in Tamale, she comes with a security team. But she's too valuable to them. When you begin to make yourself available to God, and God begins, you become too valuable to God. Too valuable to God. And anything you want, God will give to you. Do you get my point? God will just give to you. You remember the daughter of Herod? The girl was too important to Herod. He said, the way you are dancing, what do you want? Even to have my girl, I'll give it to you. Then he shouted and said, I need counsel from my mother. Mommy? King said, what do you want? He said, tell him you want John Baptist's head. But I said, my platter. Ah! That was how a dance was so important to the king. The king already said, whatever you ask, I'll give you even to half of my kingdom. There are people that death cry doesn't come around them. But God has put an embargo on death because they are too important to the kingdom. There are some prayers you have to pray when you're relevant to God. Isn't that the truth? No, people of God. There can be turbulence in the air, but he has to, hey, turbulence. I have a dear one in that. If you do faint in the hair of that boy or that girl, you are gone. So there'll be turbulence. Small, just die down. We don't pray about certain things. May God make us so relevant. May the Holy Ghost make us so relevant to the kingdom, that God will do everything to keep us safe. How do you think Enoch didn't die? Enoch, Bible says, and the man walked with God and was not. You know what that means? Chapter 3 of Genesis, God will come in the cool of the day. You know, that's what we can deduce from there, that God normally comes around to have some chats, you know, with bro Adam, bro A. Bros A, one day was not available. And from that time, God was seeking for a man he can have gist and chat with. And there comes this man, Enoch. Seventh from Adam. Enoch. What hour will make God walk with this guy and the guy is no longer around? God so loved this guy's company. There's a way a man can make God feel so good around you. John gave us a secret. He said, when you love me, obey my words. I and my Father will come and make our abode. Divine, the manifest presence of God is only a function of prayer. It's a function of obedience and love for God's word. When a man esteems God's word so much, the presence of God is so real on that person's life that God will have a man called Enoch and they'll have conversations upon conversations. You know, I have not spent time to read the book of Enoch, but I heard there are some very interesting stuffs there. You know, but Enoch had so much conversation with God that I believe that one of the times we were just having a conversation with God and we were talking before Enoch realized that we're free. He had left time zone and entered God's house. God said, there's no need to go back. It's okay. Let's continue here. He didn't see death. What kind of walk was that? And this was a guy that was not born again. No? This was a guy that didn't have the Holy Ghost in him. You understand, people of God? There was nowhere in the Bible that said that the Holy Ghost was upon Enoch. No. But this guy, perhaps he went to meet Adam. Say, Adam, how was it in the garden? Because check the ages properly. Adam was still around. So I'm sure of course, said, sir, we were told that you were in the garden and that God came. How was it? How did you talk? I'm sure Adam was like, oh, those old good days. No, he would come in the cool of the day and then he would take me to that stream that becomes four and we have a good time talking. Miss him. Enoch goes like, I'll make sure I have that cool of the day and the hot of the day. I'm sure. This was it yesterday or so that lady was asking the grandmother that, is she old? And grandmother now said, what do you think? And she says she's not seeing white hair, so she's not old. And I said to her, she isn't old. And the days of, I told them that in the days of Methuselah, kindergarten starts from 60 years. Yeah. No, they were living 950. Think of the adult church and think of the teens church. The teens church was a serious place. 100, you just see, you see 200. Hey, go up in there, 200. So when you come to church, you see 800, 700. That is the adult service. You get it? So just imagine how they were living. And I don't know about that, but I've been told that the world was such that men grew huge because the climate was still very different from our time. Men were huge. You get the whole idea? So we come to service, praising the Lord, 800, 900. Oh, and you see your son will just come at 500, that they have found again. How old is she? She's 400. 400. So, oh, I'm blessed. I say, I do at that age. 350. 350. You know, they start dating at 200. If I'm 200, 330. Then by 400, they are married. 500, I give birth to children. Oh, okay, give us Genesis 5. Give us 5. Take it from verse 1 and see something beautiful there. You should be enjoying the Bible. It says that. Now, this is the book of Genesis of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Continue, sir. He created male and female. Go to the next verse. Let me see. Adam lived. Look at this. Relax. Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image. 130. Okay, continue to verse 4. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. 800. Still burning. Verse 5. So all the days of Adam were 930 years, and he died. Can you imagine that funeral service? Go to the next verse. He said, Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. Yes. After he begot Enos, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and 807 sons and daughters. Look at good age now. So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. So that time, if you die 800, you are a waste. Enos lived, gone too soon. What a shock. Enos lived 90 years. That's at this point, this guy is beginning to like to give birth early. See now the number is reducing. And begot Kenan. Okay, continue. After he begot Kenan, Enos lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. Verse 11. So all the days of Enos were 905. Painful, is it? continue. Okay, he lived 70 and begot Mahalalel. Yes. And after he begot Mahalalel, Kenan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. Yes. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years. He died. Continue. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. So at this point, they started going out early. In their teens. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. Yes. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895. Something was wrong with this guy. 895 years. He's too small. He didn't reach 100. 900. Yes. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. Yes. Verse 20. So all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. The funeral was great. Now, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, look at his report. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Next. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, as if each year was a day. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, Pastor Stanley, anytime I read the scripture, and I get to Methuselah, I feel like God had to reward Methuselah for the years that Enoch did not live. So Methuselah enjoyed of the work of his father. Because look at this. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. 27. So all the days of Methuselah were 960. And he died. When you read on, you realize the ages are coming down because iniquity was abounding. Man was staying far and far away from God until he got to the father of Noah, who died at 777. Glory to God. Will you walk with the Lord? God wants to use you. God wants to use you, my dear brothers. God wants to use you. You're not here in this world to just have a first degree, get married. That thing, relax, me, honey. This thing about marriage and children and things, Charlie, can you define and finish your whole life in marriage and children and house? And like, you're too valuable for that. Please, are you with me? And worst of it all, when you go and marry a fool, you marry someone who it contradicts what God wants to do with you. Listen, I'm getting very worried about marriage issues because a lot of our young people feel that it's as if you feel that your worth is in marriage. No. No, no. Let God use you. Tomorrow, if the Lord gives me opportunity, I'm going to share with you how to cultivate the anointing and walk in the anointing. I realize that when God wants to use you, He'll anoint you. The anointing is not feeling dizzy and falling. It's the ability of God that comes upon you, and you do what naturally you cannot do for the sake of the kingdom. Are you with me? Yes, you are into music. That is your cloak. But under that cloak is a discipler. It's one that in the studio, when you sing a line of a song, and a secular guy enters, say, there's something about you, something entered me when you sang that thing. Who are you? Who are you? But I realized something lately. The Lord has been drawing my heart to prayer a lot, because I noticed that there are certain dimensions in this walk that will never happen except we are praying at a level that doesn't make sense. You know why? In the place of, I was telling some people about quantitative and qualitative prayer. Quantitative is hours. Qualitative is what you do within that time. But you see, when you tarry in prayer, your soul, your flesh is wearied. And that's when God takes over. Where the world is going, eh? Can't be arguing again. No? Argument. You're going to try to explain. The person won't get it. No, according to the Bible. Say Bible, you're not correct. Also say according to the Bible. Do you get the point? So I say Bible, no, and you're free, and you are still quoting the Bible. There must be something, and that's the Holy Ghost. May the Lord stay in us an appetite just for Him, just for Him, so we can be used of Him. So it can be used of Him. You know, Sunday, I don't know if Sunday. So Tuesday I was in the service. But a couple that came to see me some time ago, I think about a year or two ago, and they had issues. It was Pastor Dave that directed them to me. And we had a talk. I didn't see them again, you know. I never saw them again. So Sunday after service, I saw them. Like, wow, you guys, where have you been? It's been a long time. God was something new in their lives. Something interesting happened. While I sat with them, I began to talk to them. And everything I was saying, Buddha was smiling. That's why he's smiling. He says, like, you're in our house, you are painting us. And I realized that, yes, the prophetic anointing of my life. But when I began to increase the number of hours, it's much easier now. It's much easier with conviction. He asked me a question. Pastor, can I ask you a question? I said, ask me a question. I'm angry at God. Is it right? I said, I said, my dear, the unfortunate thing is that, you may not like what I'm going to say, but whether you're angry at God or hungry with God, it doesn't change him. He doesn't need you. You need him. Look at me. I said, you go to buy iron. There's an instruction in an iron box. It's for straightening your clothes. And it burns your hand. And you are angry at the manufacturer. Does it change the manufacturer? I will use iron again. I mean, iron's burn hand. I will not use iron for the rest of my life. Does the guy hear you? Your money has been taken. And they are not the only user. There are many users who are very happy with the iron. So your being angry doesn't change him. Because sometimes you think God is delaying. But sometimes God is actually helping you. The Lord opened my eyes and I saw something about them. And I told them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So the day that this is done, the earth shall yield their increase. That is it. There are many people around us that need help from God. They need help. But you and I have decided not to align to God. People have died around us. We shouldn't have died. They shouldn't have died. They shouldn't have died. If you and I had availed ourselves to God, they wouldn't have died. But because of us, they died. And we think it's not the will of God. No. Are you with me? That is my pain right now. People that shouldn't have died around me. Some friends shouldn't have gone the way they went. No. Are you with me? Yeah. Some of your friends shouldn't go the way they go. Some brethren in church who have left church, they should have left church. If you and I had availed ourselves unto God, would have been used better than we did. This 2 months, February, it's the first day in February. God is calling you and I sitting into intimacy. Intimacy is not in the mouth. It's not in just waking up. Me thou I say, me thou I say, yes, wait. No, 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 no. Intimacy doesn't call for that. It's much more than that. It will cost you some sleep. That you are praying, it's like what you are praying is like it's nonsense. And you have to still stay there and be praying. Tell a friend, I say, anytime you start praying, it's like you're feeling nonsense. It means stay there. The devil trying to get to that. This thing is not going anywhere. Oh, boy. The guy can't speak truth. If you meet the devil, you opine him into two. In trunk, intestines, and trunk. Pancreas, and trunk. Esophagus, and trunk. Everything, and trunk. The guy can't speak truth. So if the devil tells you, this prayer, is a waste of time, he's trying to say that it will help you stay there. Hello? Cost you some sleep. All of us here, if you are doing a project that will bring you money, you stay awake through the night. Why are you giving an excuse to your prayer life? Tell us your value. No, all of us here, if you have, all of us, everyone here has schooled before. How did you get that A? Didn't you put your feet in water? Or you drank coffee. I had a friend who was chewing coffee raw. Go to account that to read. Why don't you chew coffee to pray? How was that? See, we give excuses too much. I'm tired. But yet, if you were in a company where you're paid well and you had to finish some presentations, a lot of presentations, and it will cost you nothing for 3 days, you will do it. It's amazing how that, you know, I was teasing Akosia that she couldn't go to work, but she wasn't feeling well. And they allowed her to stay at home. But if you tell them you want to go to church, so you can't come. They won't agree. But you are sick, they agree. You get a point? There's no excuse. We have the 24 hours. It's very perfect for us. Too much. God looked ahead. He's the one that begins. He finished before he starts. And he knew a time is going to come. You have social media. Now, if anything will steal your time and make you think that 24 hours is not enough, it's that thing called social media. Just when we come, mommy showed me Elon Musk. He succeeded in the first implant of chip. Chip, yes, yes. Those things we've been watching in 20, they are coming to pass. Oh, you'll be there and be doing wedding and things. Be there. All those fiction movies we're watching, it's becoming real. Oh. The first ever successful chip implant. My, they are now observing the patient. 2022, a chimpanzee died because they didn't get it real. The screener now is when they put a human being. Belly party. There are some things that this 5G, didn't we all talk plenty about it? Are we not using it? No, you see, the thing is very smooth. Oh, they will bring the thing that put the chip. It's much easier putting the chip in your palm. You put it. He's called the deceiver. Don't you get it? You make it so normal. So normal. Oh. So some of you have two chips. One here, one here. You want to call Mike. Mike, Charlie, what's up? Where are you there? Where are you going, my jealousy more? These guys, the passenger was telling me we're discussing something. And have you seen that all the cars have become automated? Automated. Electric cars. Nobody should go to church. They will go. You stay in your room, that point. All the cars will go off. We're not going to agree. You have to be your head. Bring. Boom. Don't agree with bring. Boom. You're gone. I've noticed something. When you're discussing something there, and you now decide to go to Google to check on that thing, so as you enter, what you are discussing appears. Even when gadgets are not working, they are listening. I was like, is it true? The one day I told him, who said, hey, why is it that I was talking about something? I went to YouTube, I think just that when I entered M, that thing I was talking about, I was like, Kim, there's some people in this world, they will never use smartphones, they like the old, they think they are paranoid. That's it. There's some people that don't like, they like the old cars, manual. It won't work, and everything says, look. Everything. Then I checked my phone. I realized that all the trips I went to, everywhere I traveled to last year, Ross, my Android, it was showing me. Hey! Monitoring spirit. Say, nobody knows me. I'm nobody in this life here. It's one satellite over there just looking at you. AC, everything she's going. That's AC. At the right time, we'll see what we can do with it. If they are advancing technology, why can't we advance in our walk with God? That's our own safety. Are you here with me? While we are here praising and blessing God, people are planning how to make sure that you're not happy. Father, we love you. Lord, use us. Use us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at me. I want to use this man as a testimony, but just to, I mean, if you know E-Rock, C-E-Y-C. No, that man was just an ordinary man. No. He said, I gave myself to the word and prayer. There's nobody God cannot use if we give ourselves the word and prayer. Please say it with me. Whatever you and I, see, it doesn't matter how far we've come in the faith. God is always doing a new thing. Just lay aside what you know. 28th February, I'll be 31 years in the faith. 31 years. But I feel like I know nothing. 31 years. It's older than some of you. It's been a great journey. But this year is one of the years I feel like I know nothing. And my hunger for God is like, you know what's happening to me? There's something I want to see about Jesus. Everything you know, whatever success you've had in Jesus in the past, let it be in the past. This is a new year. Tell yourself that this year, that thing they said they heal the sick. Have you healed some before? Tell yourself this year, I will heal the sick. No, tell, make it a goal. Are you with me?
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, their special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.